New data on PPP loans shows what we already knew. Many large businesses took advantage of them. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. According to new data, the Paycheck Protection Program worked. The money was spread around widely, from healthcare companies to religious organizations. But the loans also went to some enterprises that are once again prompting questions about who really needed the government aid. Marketplace's Nova Sappho joins me now with more. Hi, Nova. So who got loans that people might be raising questions about this morning?
Well, probably the highest profile name is Kanye West. His clothing company got millions in PPP loans. We don't know the exact amount. It's categorized as between $2 to $5 million. Expensive private schools were on the list, law firms, including one that represented President Trump. And the reason we're learning about this now, Sabri, is that the Treasury Department, under pressure, released data for who got the biggest loans.
Yeah, I remember a few weeks ago we were talking about some big restaurant chains taking PPP loans. I mean, are these revelations particularly surprising?
Well, they're confirming some of the criticisms about the PPP program, that money was flowing to bigger businesses than perhaps Congress intended. The issue is that the program was supposed to be for firms that didn't have other options for quickly raising cash to continue paying employees and staying in business. And we spoke with Sarah Crozier about this of the Main Street Alliance, which is an advocacy group for small business.
To see that the most well-banked businesses, you know, are best represented in getting that money and ultimately maybe didn't need it as much as other businesses, particularly in the service industries, I can see where that outrage has been justified.
And Crozier's group now wants Congress to target aid, for example, geographically, perhaps, to small businesses in infection hotspots where the aid may be most needed.
All right, Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you. At the end of this month, millions of unemployed Americans will get their last $600 a week federal pandemic unemployment check. That is, unless Congress acts to extend that program. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Jody Solel is 64 and works for a solar energy installer in Maryland. He was furloughed in March and recently got called back for a very partial reopening.
1 week I had 2.5 hours, another week 2 hours.
He is still getting $880 a week on unemployment. That includes $600 in federal pandemic benefits. What will his family do if that runs out at the end of July?
I haven't even thought about that. That's why they make credit cards.
Financial advisory firm The Ascent has surveyed unemployed workers, and research analyst Dan Albright says
almost two-thirds could go less than 3 months without the extra $600. They would borrow more money and take more drastic cuts in their expenses.
A recent survey by the Urban Institute finds more than 4 in 10 American households have suffered job or income loss during the pandemic. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's take a look at the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 4 to 9/10% range, with the Dow future down 231 points. Carbon dioxide, CO2, is a pollutant, yes, but it is also a key ingredient in many products. It's used to make your soda bubbly, it's in your fire extinguisher, and right now it is in short supply. Most industrial CO2 is a byproduct of oil and gas production, and we are making less of that right now because there's less demand amid the pandemic. Marketplace's Andy Euler has this look at how one company's managing.
Beer makers buy a lot of CO2. Not only to add some fizz to your IPA, but to purge tanks for cleaning and transfer beer from tank to bottle. At the same time, brewing actually produces a lot of CO2, but it's expensive to capture, so most brewers just release the gas into the atmosphere, contributing pollution. But Amy George says it doesn't have to be that way. Here at the Austin Beer Works Craft Brewery in North Austin, she shows me a carbon capture machine. It kind of looks like a hotel ice maker.
There are 3 steps of purification. The first are dryers that remove water. The second is an activated carbon vessel that removes impurities. And then the third is a chiller, that takes that gas and converts it to a liquid.
Her company, called Earthly Labs, sold this contraption to the brewery about a year ago. Adam DeBauer is one of the owners of Austin Beer Works.
It was kind of always the holy grail of craft brewing, was to be able to figure out how to reclaim the CO2 that we were producing to be able to put it back into our beer.
He says they paid about $100,000 for this unit. At Denver Beer Company, co-founder Patrick Crawford decided a carbon capture machine made sense there too.
I think we'll see much smaller breweries and breweries that are our size capturing their own CO2 and using it.
One thing that's driving breweries to capture their own CO2 is that right now, some suppliers don't want to bother with low-volume customers. Again, Amy George.
Some of our customers had suppliers say, we're going to ration CO2 for medical supply use. We're going to increase your prices 30%. We're going to cut your supply in half.
And Bob Pease, CEO of the American Brewers Association, says when bars and restaurants, who are big users of CO2, reopen, the CO2 shortage might get even worse.
Everybody's going to feel the pinch.
But your Miller Coors and Budweiser's are probably going to feel it less so. They've been repurposing their carbon dioxide for years. What's true for all brewers, though, CO2 capture provides only some of what beer makers need to use, so they currently have to buy CO2 on the open market. In Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is interested in how inequality can play out within families, in a household or among generations of the same family. Did the pre-COVID economy fail some members of your family while rewarding others? We would love to hear from you. Email us. We will look at all of them. Use the address morningreport@marketplace.org. I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.